Join the conversation. On Cape Talk.
All right, you might remember then that earlier this year in March, I spoke to photographer Petelo Fakude, who hit the headlines when a tweet that he posted went viral. And the tweet read, "I did it. I just got my irreversible vasectomy done. I'm 29, unmarried, no children, and no intention of ever having any. I've wanted this for years. It's surreal." And as you might remember, the post sparked quite a lot of debate. Some people were in full support of Petelo's decision. Some people not quite so much. An awful lot of people seemed unable to understand why a man so young would make such a life-changing decision. And a lot of people didn't think he was capable, strangely, at the age of 29, of making such a decision. Whatever your views on Petelo's decision, would they change if the person in question was a woman? Well, our next guest was also 29 when she decided to undergo sterilisation. Carmen Williams, a writer and social media manager, says she's got no desire to have children or to subscribe to rather outdated social norms and expectations. She was 22 when she decided that she didn't want to have kids, and 25 when she actively started exploring sterilisation as a viable option. But it would then take another 4 years for her to find a doctor willing to support her decision. Let's find out more as we welcome Carmen to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Esther. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. I'm so looking forward to having this conversation because it's fascinating. What are most people's reactions, Carmen, when you tell them that you were sterilised at 29 years old?
I've had various reactions, but most of them are just, why? I always kind of laugh at that reaction. And mostly my answer is, because I wanted to.
Yeah.
A lot of people just cannot wrap their heads around the fact that I do not want to be a mother, and that I'm so serious about not wanting to be a mother that I literally got a surgery to ensure that I do not become one. And a lot of people are shocked and surprised. I've also luckily met some people who go, "Oh, that's really interesting. Why that decision?" And not in a judgy way.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time it's very much the thing of, "Oh, but, you know, what if you change your mind? What if, you know, when you hit 35, all of a sudden your biological clock starts ticking and all these things?" And I'm like, well, it's probably not going to happen. But if it does, there are other options.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I can't carry a baby. It just means that I can't have a child by normal
biological means.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I could technically still have a baby by IVF, but I have no desire to. Also, the idea of pregnancy is not something that I think I would enjoy.
Yeah, it's not a walk in the park. It's not, yeah. I mean, tell me something. And that is fascinating to me because I didn't know that. So you've educated me on that, number one. So essentially, and that's even more interesting to me because that to me is an even more empowering decision that you've made, because it's like, I want to not have to constantly worry about contraception for the rest of my life. It's something that you are doing to make your life easier.
Yes. No, much easier. Also because of the fact that, you know, just in general for the average woman, contraception can have hellish side effects. I mean, we've all had the sore boobs or the mood things or whatever from having normal PMS, but already contraception can make that even worse. Then there's the fact that I am severely mentally ill and the hormones that are in contraceptives can make that worse.
Yeah.
They can actually make depression and anxiety symptoms much worse. That can cause suicidal ideation. They can cause your body to change in various ways. One weird side effect that I had from contraception is that I cannot stand the taste of rocket. I mean, it's rocket is terrible. But I mean, ever since I started taking contraception, literally, even if I looked at rocket, I want to throw up. It's a weird side effect.
That is
I mean, like, stupid things like that. Like, why would I want to put those things inside my body when I can do this other option that is much safer, much more effective, and doesn't mean that I have to take this pill all the time? And oh crap, if I forget to take one,
yeah,
you know, does that mean I'm going to get pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh, I had to take a course of antibiotics. You know, does this leave me at risk of falling pregnant?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there are so many risks. And before I did this, the doctor who I spoke to about me wanting the sterilization, she also said to me that, yes, the pill is not great, but there's also things like the Mirena and the Implanon, which are long-term contraceptives. And as a doctor, you know, she has to recommend those. And I said, no, thank you, because there isn't enough research on how those things also affect women with mental health issues. And even the women that I do know who have those things have had bad side effects.
I know. I was on the Depo Provera, which is the 3-month injection. I also, when I lived in Dubai, was on the implant. And yeah, they didn't affect me badly, but I was warned before taking them that potentially that they could. And that was, you know, that was a factor. Carmen, let's go back to the time at which you realized. Like, how old were you when you realized you didn't want to have kids?
I was 22. And I mean, I look at 22-year-olds now and I'm like, oh my God, you're such a baby.
Yeah.
But I think also for me, knowing at such a young age, in my mind, also cemented it for me. I mean, when I was a teenager, I thought I wanted babies. I had names picked out.
You know,
I thought, I'm going to do this one day. You know, I'm going to find a man, get married, have babies and do the thing, because that's what was expected.
That's interesting. When you said you wanted to do it, and I think I wonder if at that age, a lot of us want to do it, but do we really want to do it? Or is it just that word expected, it's just what's expected of us. And then
exactly.
The societal sort of narrative around, and of course, that's what you'll do, because that's what women do. And your womanhood being defined by your future motherhood, which is hugely problematic, isn't it?
It's extremely problematic because, you know, it's basically saying to you that your only worth is being able to produce children. And whereas women are beautiful and multifaceted and talented and capable of so many things. And yes, motherhood is a wonderful thing when there are good, responsible mothers who can take care of their children, who are, you know, a joy to their children and can responsibly look after them and can take care of them.
But beyond
and those
that,
are the mothers I look after.
But beyond that, Carmen, the motherhood is a wonderful thing if it's something you want to do. That's the thing, isn't it? Motherhood's great. If you want to be a mother, great. But if you don't want to be a mother, then why do you need to? So you're 22 and you think you don't want to have children. What changes teenage Carmen to 22-year-old Carmen? What happens in that period of time that gets you to 22 where you say, not for me? Because by your own admission, 22 is still very, very young. All sorts happen. I'm 42 and I'm still learning stuff about what I want to do and don't want to do, right?
Yeah. I think one day I just realized that even at that point, I wasn't doing things that people usually expected of me. And motherhood was obviously, you know, the big thing. And I just thought to myself, but no, I don't want to be responsible for raising a child or children. I don't want to go to school plays and watch them be a tree. I don't want to sit and help them do homework because they forgot to tell me that they had a project due the next day and we now have to sit at midnight and glue things on a plastic board.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do any of those things. And I don't want to do I don't really care about the joyous moments either, you know, watching them graduate and, you know, take their first steps and all those things. I'm sure those are wonderful moments for parents, but
sure,
they don't matter to me. And it's just, there's nothing in me that actually wants to participate in any of those moments, that thinks that any of those things would matter in my life. And I just don't want the responsibility as well, because it's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's just not something that I want to do. Also, there has been a lot of trauma in my past. There has been a lot of, you know, loss and all those things. And
yeah.
Plus, even at 22, I hadn't been formally diagnosed yet, but I knew that I was depressed.
Right.
And I hadn't been diagnosed with everything, but at that point, I knew that I'd been depressed since I was a teenager, since I was about 13, 14. And thinking to myself, do I want to put a child at risk of that?
Yeah.
Do I want to put a child at risk of the pure hell of being depressed and suicide ideation and all those things? Because even if you do have a supportive mother, those things are hard.
Yeah, absolutely they are. It's 18 minutes past 8 o'clock. If you're just tuning in this morning, we're talking to Carmen Williams, who was 29 years old when she was sterilised. What I didn't know, and this is, you know, always a school day for SJ, that doesn't mean that she can't carry a child. It just means that she can't conceive a child in the traditional biological way. Right, Carmen? Is that, have I got it sus there?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Also, to make something clear.
Yeah.
I didn't have my womb removed. It wasn't a hysterectomy.
No.
Because a lot of people get confused. It was a tubal-like mission where they place clamps on my fallopian tubes.
So that essentially means that, okay, so if we're going to get biological about this and you're going to correct me, a sperm and... Oh, no, because your womb is releasing the egg, but it can't get down the tube because the tube's been clamped, right? It's not even that the sperm can meet the egg and then it can't go anywhere. There's never the twain shall meet. They can never meet because the tubes
are
clamped.
No.
Got it. Okay.
They will never be besties, no.
Dr. Sarah Jane Macquarie King joining you live from Game Talk this morning. Right. Okay. Listen. Yeah, I know, right, exactly. We've had a lot of messages in talking about, you know, congratulating you on the decision. And Albert says, planet Earth definitely has more humans than it can handle. And Janine says, there's 5.5 billion more people than a planet can sustainably support. We reached the limit of 2.5 billion in 1950. Those who choose to limit their fertility are heroes to whom we should be grateful. While all of that is true in terms of, you know, overpopulation, for me, that's still taking away your autonomy. It's still a thing of thanks for doing this for the rest of us. When really, if you want to have 50 kids, that's your own business. And then the other thing that I want to say is that, and I imagine that people say what I'm about to say, which was my experience also, which was when I was 22, 25, 29, 32, I didn't want to have kids either. And there is this idea that somebody at the age of 22 can't possibly know themselves enough or can't possibly have had enough life experience to make that decision. And while it's true, you know, for me, yes, I was somebody who changed their mind about having children quite late on in life. And there were a number of reasons why I didn't want to have children, you know, and I thought I was going to be a bad mother. I was given up for adoption. And I started thinking, you know, is it genetic, your ability to relinquish your child? Is that something that I would do? Would I not love my kid? All of these things. And for me, my experience was that it all kind of worked itself out in the end to a result that was, actually, I do want to have children. But I also know an awful lot of older women, sorry, it's awful to say older women, but 60s, mid-60s, 70s, who have got children, and they say, and they've told me, you know what, SJ, I did it because that's what, as we just said, that's what was expected of me. And as much as I love my children, if I could do it all again, I might not have them. And for me also, I love my daughter. Of course I do. I love being a mum. It terrifies me. And some days I feel never regret, but I feel sort of, I guess it is fear still. The responsibility of parenting is overwhelming for me sometimes. And I sometimes think, had I maybe did buy into, even if it's sort of subconsciously, the thing of, well, ultimately, of course, you will have kids, SJ. I think I probably could have lived a satisfactory, content, happy, joyous life without. That's not to say my daughter doesn't bring me enormous joy. She does. But it's very easy to kind of write a narrative of, somebody said to me, in fact, here's an example. Somebody said to me when I was pregnant with my daughter, it's the best thing you'll ever do. And I turned around to her and I said, I hope not. And I didn't mean it in but I didn't mean it in terms of I won't love my child or I won't, but just it's not the thing that's going to define me in life. It's one of many facets of who I am. Motherhood is just one of them. When people do say that thing to you of, oh, well, Carmen, I didn't want children when I was that age either. What's your response to that?
Well, I've gotten past the stage of eye rolling now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, there have been so many people who go, oh, no, but when I was that age, I also didn't think I wanted children. And people still say to me now, and I'm about to turn 32 in 2 months. And people are like, no, but even when I was young, even when I was 32, I wasn't sure and kind of thing. And I'm like, well, by my age, my mom was just about to get pregnant with me and I was her last kid.
Sure.
You know, there was... I know so many people who had kids young and did the whole thing and whatever. But coming back to the question, now I've gotten to the point where if someone is being snarky about it and they're like, but how can you possibly know that you don't want children? I've gotten snarky and I've gone, because I'm allergic. Or if someone's genuinely asking and saying, oh, but when I was that age, I also wasn't sure. How do you know? And I say, well, I just have this feeling in my bones. It's just something that I know.
Yeah.
And I have considered, I have, you know, looked at the options. Last year I was with a partner who wanted children.
Mm.
And we knew that we were going to break up anyways for other reasons.
Yeah.
But, I went through a period for a couple of weeks where I thought, could I be a person who does want kids? You know, could there be other solutions? You know, could I do the IVF? You know, could I do those things?
Let's talk and about... Sorry, go on, Carmen.
Yeah, so for about 3 weeks, I sat with that decision, spoke to my therapist about it, really, really had a good think about it as, you know, a woman in my 50s. And still at the end of it, I went, no.
Yeah.
None of that idea sparks joy.
Got it. I want to talk about two things. One about relationships, but before we get to that, I want you to tell us about your experience with the medical profession around your decision. So you're 22, you decide you don't want to have kids. At 25, you start seriously considering and exploring sterilization as a viable option. But it took a number of years before you would find a doctor who was willing to support your decision. Talk to us about what was going on with the medical profession in those years.
Yeah, so when I was 25 and I had seen this TED talk about this woman who was talking about sterilization, and I realized that was what I wanted, I then had my annual pap smear a couple of months later and said to my GP, you know, this is a thing I'm considering. And at the time, she looked at me with a shock on her face and she went, no, you're far too young.
Sure.
And in that moment, I felt completely defeated.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a conversation. There wasn't a, these are your options. She didn't even say to me how difficult it would be because of the fact that the medical fraternity is just so against the idea of women having their own autonomy.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't explain any of those things to me. She just knocked me down with, no, but you're too young. I now still have the same GP, and she now is very supportive of my decision.
Hmm.
And has since changed her outlook on it. Because, you know, I guess people grow. But after her, there was a couple of years where I didn't have medical aid, so I was going to government doctors and spoke to them about it. And these were male doctors. And one literally laughed.
Wow.
Literally laughed when I expressed the idea. And said, no, there's no way we're going to do that.
eventually, when
after a while,
When you did find somebody who was happy to do the procedure, what was the lead up to that? Were you offered counselling? Did they explain to you what your options could be if later down the line you decided you did want to have children, or biological children? What happened once somebody had signed on the dotted line, as it were? What then happened? What were the conversations that were had in support of your decision and in support and in informing you what your options might be later?
Well, also the way that I found this doctor was because I tweeted about the fact that no doctor would sterilize me, and got a DM from this woman who's also a doctor and said that the head of the, I forget the name of the department, but the, female anatomy things, that she would listen to me and gave me her contact details. And I sent this woman a very long email about all my reasons and my research and all the things I've done and how I know I want this for myself. And doctor came back with, okay, it sounds like you really want to do this. Came back to me with, saying, but I do have to say to you that, there is the implant and the Mirena and so on. And I said, no, those are not things that I want. And then told me to come in for an assessment. So at the time, I was a freelancer, but also not earning a lot of money. And this was a government hospital. So I went in for the assessment on a Thursday. And I was sitting in a group of women who were probably about 10 to 15 years older. I was the youngest and also the only one who didn't have children, and all of them were shocked. One woman had 6 children and she was only 42, and she looked tired.
I'm sure.
And went in for the assessment, got all of that done, and then they said to me, okay, cool, you can come in for the surgery on Tuesday. And I'm like, what? Yeah, Tuesday. And while I was in having the assessment, then the nurse had phoned me beforehand and had known of my decision and so on. And while we're doing the assessment, she's like, I know that you said that you want this, but are you sure? And so on and so on. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, no, I know these things. And
the fact that you went through that, Carmen, I mean, how, when you look on back on that now, do you think they were quite right in asking you, and they have a responsibility to be cautious because, you were 29? Or do you think, well, I was 29, I was a grown woman, and there's a point at which it impinges on your right to make decisions about your own body? How do you view how it was handled, looking back 4 or 5 years later?
I actually think that they handled it perfectly.
I never
felt like I was being spoken down to.
Yeah.
I never felt like I was being asked, but are you really sure?
Right.
It felt like they were giving me, it was informed consent.
Got it.
Which is what should be happening.
Yeah, for sure.
It was having a conversation with me, checking in with me during these various steps, going, are you sure that this is what you want to do? There is an option where you can turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
But it never felt judgy. It never felt that they're telling me that I'm too young or I'm being stupid or any of those things.
Which is what medical services ought to be. I mean,
exactly.
Of course, this year particularly has shone a spotlight, maybe not necessarily in this country, but in the States, about the autonomy of one's body and the agency and the ability to make decisions around what one wants to do or needs to do with one's own body. We're going to have to leave it, Carmen, but just on a final note, do you have any advice for people, men, women, whoever, considering sterilisation or a vasectomy at what most people would consider to be a relatively young age? Anything that you wish you'd done or that you are glad that you did do in the decision-making process?
Research everything.
Right.
I mean, it's already a part of my personality to just do research on anything.
Yeah.
But to make your decision even more powerful, make sure you know as much as possible, to the point where if you get there and the doctor goes, this is what's going to happen, you go, yeah, I know.
Got it.
You know, it's like you need to know, give yourself the power in that you find out about every single thing that's going to happen, how many stitches you're going to need, what exactly they cut, what the procedure is, how long it typically takes, all of those things. And then also find other people who have made similar decisions, whether it's online, whether it's a friend of a friend. Speak to people who have been in similar situations or also don't want children or also considering the same thing. Get support. Find people like you and have conversations, you know, because you're not crazy for wanting this. So just get support and do research.
Yeah, I think it's that's the best really, really great advice, the power of being informed. Carmen, it's been great to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us. The time is 8:33. You're listening to Weekend Breakfast with me, Sarah-Jane Macuala-King.